The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency. Wasn't that a fascinating conversation with Bill Murphy from the Center for UFO Studies? Not quite what I expected. He's obviously a very thoughtful man who has spent many years researching this phenomena and has much to say on it. I think we could have spent 2 hours and a number of questions were coming in, but I just didn't have time to get to them all today. But I'm sure Bill will be back at a future date, and absolutely fascinating subject, because what I liked most was the fact that he wasn't immediately jumping to sort of wild conclusions, but was very much a historian, very much basing whatever he was coming up with on facts and the facts that he had discovered over the years. So that was Bill Murphy. Check him out at the Center for UFO Studies. Though you have to be warned, when you go on that website, it is so detailed, the hours just seem to fly by. I couldn't believe the amount of stuff that was on that website. Excellent website if you're interested in the history of that phenomena. Now, what I'm interested in now is your calls, 888-928-0881 to this program. Come on, give me a call. Let's check if the phone lines are working. We'll pray for you as well while we're at it. Or you can text us on 251-928-2111. We're just about to say the Divine Mercy Chaplet, a chaplet especially for you listening to us, whether you're listening in your car, listening in your home, listening in a hospital, wherever you are, out walking the dog, you are with us in prayer. And we are praying for you, whether you like it or not. Okay, Reed, have we got a prayer warrior today?
We sure do, Kevin. In the studio with us is Miss Jenny Carr.
Hello.
Jenny, welcome back.
Hello, I'm glad to be back. I like that introduction.
We did it specially for you.
Oh, my gosh. I feel very
told them to practice through the night. I said, look, Jenny's coming on. She's an all-star. She's been on this show so many times. We've got to make a fuss. But we are. It's something because we were thinking about it, Jenny. I don't know what you thought, but we think that the prayer warriors who come on do a very, very important job. Don't you agree?
I do. It's an honor, too.
It's an honor, but we're engaged in a battle here. We're engaged in battle for souls through prayer. Prayer is not it's not a soapy bath. You're being called to the front line. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. I am armored.
And I hope you're fully loaded with a rosary.
I am. I actually have two today, and I'm so disappointed, but my business partner is on her way here to meet us and, of course, ran into some terrible traffic. So she is safe, thankfully, but I don't know if she's going to make it on time. But, I mean, hopefully she's listening and she's going to try to call in, too. So
remind me of her name, Jenny. Sorry. You both on the show.
Sure. Diane.
Diane, Diane. And I know I'd spoken to you before about getting Diane on. So listen, Diane, if you're listening to this in the car, you know, it's like one of those movies. You can still make it in time. Mm-hmm. You've got 27 minutes to get into the studio to pray with us for the first time. And I don't care if it's the last decade, the very last invocation. If you were there, it would be fantastic. Don't you agree, Jenny?
I do. And I, you said it better than me, but I pretty much told her the same thing. I said, just run it.
So I'm looking forward to that Hollywood moment as we're just finishing up and the door of the studio is kicked open and Diane leaps forward, grabs the mic, and prayers once with us.
I'll have the trumpet ready for that, Kevin.
I am already visualizing it all.
Listen, if Diane turns up, I want that trumpet going nonstop all the time. It's a real moment.
And hopefully we'll get it on camera, too, on the YouTube feed.
But listen, every time I turn Archangel on, I hear you, Jenny.
Yes, we're actually doing some ad recording later this morning. So we're getting our fresh ads out for the season.
Well, look, I've just got one request for you and Diane.
Okay.
Don't get too good.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Starting to show me up a bit. You know?
Oh, no. Never.
You both sound very, very professional, I have to say. It's a joy listening to you both.
Mike is very good at editing. Very good.
Mike is a man of many parts. Yesterday he was fixing the computers and fixing our phone lines.
Yes.
So anyway, listen, whatever you might think of me, you know Jenny, you know her voice. She's a wonderful supporter of this station. Why don't you call in, have a quick word with Jenny, tell her what's on your mind, 888-928-0881, or text us on 251-928-2111. Well, Jenny, shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of the Father,
and the Son,
and of the Son,
and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jenny. That's us up and running.
Yes.
So, Jenny, who or what have you brought with you today?
So, Diane and I did get to talk about this, and I think to start with, we want to pray for all of our agents, but specifically we've got one that lost her father last week. And her mother is also, you know, ill, and so we just want to pray for her. She's had a lot going on. Her name is Stacy.
Stacy.
Yes.
Was that unexpected, the loss of her father?
You know, he was 98 years old, so I don't know that it's ever expected, but he definitely lived a wonderful life. 12 kids, very Catholic. In, you know, bringing up his children in his faith. They were married, I believe, 67 years, maybe even in the 70s. I can't remember exactly, but beautiful, beautiful models for marriage and in their faith.
So Stacy's one of 12.
Yes, she's the baby.
Wonderful. Well, listen, Stacy, I don't know if you'll ever hear this. You may hear it on the podcast or the encore presentation. You've got a good friend and colleague in Jenny and Diane. They're praying for you at this time, as are we. And we're praying for your dear father. He had 98 years and gave great witness to his faith. So we pray with great hope in God's mercy for your father, Stacy. And you know, sometimes when parents die, I found this when my parents died, there's a closeness comes afterwards with the parent who goes on, which is unexpected. And I pray that you be given that gift as well today, Stacy.
Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Jenny. That's us kicked off, so to speak. Now, and we're not getting any texts through, so listen, if you're listening, could you just text us just to check that the lines are working? 251-928-2111. We'd love to hear from you and to pray for you. No updates on Diane, Jenny, have we?
No, nothing yet. I know it was kind of the white knuckle driving, you know, so... Oh. Yeah.
Well, we don't want to distract you.
Yes.
Diane, take your time if you're listening. There's no rush, okay?
Yes. Yes.
And maybe you can pop in at the end of the show and say hi, and that'd be nice as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so in which case, I am going to turn to... I wonder if Mike can drag himself away from the desk for a moment. Mike, are you there?
Just a second. He should be able to come in here, but he's manning the phones. It's in the other room.
Well,
we have a
rotophone. That's okay, Reed. Let's take your prayer intentions first then.
Mm-hmm.
Who or what would you like us to pray for today?
I would love to pray for all the lay people who are in different ministries around the church, the people who, you know, do the everyday functions of the church and everything, that they're well informed and make great decisions.
Sounds like
And also, Mike has made his way in here.
I heard I was beckoned. And I'm so blessed because I am sitting next to the Jenny.
Oh my goodness.
Of Diane and Jenny Sells. Jenny
okay.
Carr, the
Y'all.
One and only Jenny Carr. She's like, oh my God, I'm getting squeamish.
I know. I'm never leaving.
No.
Be careful what you wish for, Jenny. You might get trapped in that building. Mike,
yes.
Do you have anything or anyone you'd like us to pray for other than Jenny and Diane?
Yeah, I'd just like to pray for my family and their spiritual, you know, well-being and especially continued prayers for my wife that the cancer will stay in remission far away from her and out of her body. And also want to pray for all of our listeners. Thank you for I'm so blessed. I'm so grateful that they're the ones that keep us going. Our donors keeping us going. Put up with the technical glitches that we have from time to time, because you know it's frustrating for me, you know, when I get a word from Brad or Ellen, hey, we're off the air, and I gotta go log in or come to the station and do my technical due diligence, try to get us back on. No, I want to pray for them and. I want to pray for an increase in vocations, especially to increase in vocations to the priesthood, especially in our archdiocese. Mm-hmm. I know we're getting a few that are going to be, I think, transitional deacons. I think this year, mm-hmm. maybe, and maybe one or two that are going to be priests. I hope. I think. I don't have the list in front of me, but I just want to pray for an increase in that. We need more good men.
We certainly do. Well, you've covered a multitude in that, Mike, from the family to everybody at Archangel, the diocese and vocations. That's wonderful. We'll pray for all of that in this second decade, and also read your intentions for lay people in ministry, especially in the Archdiocese of Mobile. We'll pray that they will be especially anointed by the Holy Spirit in whatever ministry they're called to.
Amen.
Okay, let's say this second decade together. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you, Mike, Reed, and Jenny. Now, while we've been on air, we've had a text from Louise. Good morning to you, Louise. Thank you for your text. You're a faithful texter to this show, and we're so glad to have you, and we're very glad to pray for Hugh. Absolutely. We wonder how he's getting on. I know he was going off somewhere. You texted before about him. We hope that Hugh is having a good time and succeeding at whatever he set out in life to do at this time. And Louise is also asking for prayers for a healthy grandbaby who is due on March 27th. Well, we'd be delighted, Louise, to accompany you in prayer for that little baby who's due on March 27th this year. So we pray for the baby, and we pray for the mother as well, obviously, and perhaps the father who's just as anxious. But we also pray for you, Louise. We pray for you and your family at this time. And thank you for listening, and thank you for letting us pray for you here on Archangel this morning.
Amen. That's my grandmother's birthday, so it's a special day.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
What's your grandmother called?
Mary. We had prayed for her last time because I believe I was here on the anniversary of her passing, but yeah, that was her birthday, and mine's the 25th of March, so we always celebrate it together, so it's a very special time. So
it sounds like, yes, all the nice people are born around that time. So we got Mary, Jenny, and this baby is yet unborn.
Yes.
It's strange coming into this world at this time, and yeah, mothers and fathers need a lot of prayer, I think, a lot of courage to have children at this time with so much bad news out there at the moment. Okay, well, let's say this third decade for Mary, your grandmother's, may she rest in peace, and for this little baby coming in.
Yes,
and
definitely.
For Louise and for Hugh and the whole family. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you so much, Jenny. I would like to pray now this fourth decade for all our guests that we've had on this show. I don't know if you caught any of Bill Murphy's interview there, Jenny, before the Divine Mercy. But, you know, what struck me was that Bill is obviously a man of faith, as much as we are, and he's interested in ufology and all of that sort of stuff, but very much placing it in the context of his faith. And I'd like to pray for everybody who comes on the show. We have many very devout people who come on, but we also have people who are atheists, people who have no faith, or people who are a little bit indifferent to the whole thing. And I'd like to pray for them that somehow this show might be the only moment, the only time they ever really encounter Catholics or the Catholic Church or the Catholic teaching, or get a little scintilla of what it is that we believe and why we believe it and why it makes us so joyful and so hopeful, even when things sometimes don't work out for us. So I'd like to pray that this show and the whole of Archangel become a two-way street, that we bring people in who don't know the gospel, and somehow we bring our contributors and guests closer to the church. in so doing.
Amen. I like that.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad you like it, Jenny. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
That is great. Well, we're down to the fifth decade, Jenny. And, you know, I've almost felt that you and I have been sitting at this table praying together and there's an empty chair. Did you get that impression?
Yes, it's still empty.
It's still empty. But yes. But Diane, you're with us in spirit. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, Jenny, you must have chatted to Diane before you came or before you headed in here this morning. Mm-hmm. Was there anything that you're at liberty to talk about that maybe Diane would want us to pray for in this final decade?
Yes, actually, I was hoping that would be the case. A couple of things. She is traveling tomorrow to be with her sister who's got to have some surgery. And so just praying for her travels and her sister's recovery. Just as she helps her through all of that, for sure. And her sister's name is Amy. And then in addition, she has a dear friend and mutual friend of ours. I've gotten to know her through Diane. Her husband's, the death of his, the anniversary of his death is Thursday. Mm-hmm. So just praying for, you know, they've been very, very close for a long time, their family. So praying for Sue and her daughter, Alexandra.
Absolutely. That's yes. Wonderful prayers, yes. Jenny. Delight to pray for them. Whenever Diane travels, is she far to go to see her sister?
Buffalo.
Is yes. that New York?
Yes, she's a New Yorker.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow, that's quite a trip. So we pray that Diane will be guided and guarded by our holy angel throughout that trip. We pray for our sister Amy. We pray that that will all go well, whatever the surgery is, whatever the healing is needing doing, that it'll be much better than the doctors can ever predict or expect. And we'll also pray for Sue and Alexandria. Yeah, absolutely. We pray that the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, will be with them at this time. Mm-hmm. And may their father and may their husband rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude together, Jenny. Holy God,
holy mighty one,
holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one, have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one,
holy immortal one,
have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. And then we conclude together, Jenny. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know, at the end there, I was expecting that door to be kicked open and Diane to say, hold the press, I'm here.
I know.
That'd be next time. It's very good you got her this far, Jenny. I mean, you actually got her wanting to come in to pray. That's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yes, she's looking forward to it. And she said next time for sure we'll make sure it happens.
Are you going to stay in the studio to do your recordings?
Yes, at 10 o'clock we're going to start our recordings. So yes.
Well, look, if Diane comes in the next half hour and we're not involved in depth in story time, then it'd be. I mean, if she comes in the next 5 minutes, it'd be great just to say hi to Diane.
Okay, great. Yes.
And have a little chat about what you two get up to when you're not praying.
Oh boy.
Commercial recording.
Commercial recording. So you're not at your devotions. I'm not sure what else you're up to. Yes. But listen, Jenny, it's a great, great pleasure having you come on and pray with me. And I'm so grateful to you. And I hope you'll be back soon.
Well, I'm grateful to you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you.
That is Jenny Carr, who's not just a prayer warrior, you know. She's also a great supporter of this station and a budding radio star. I'm getting a little bit worried myself, to be honest with you. Her and Diane. I can see the Jenny and Diane show kicking me into touch at some point. But anyway, I'll pray about that. When we come back, we are going to be doing story time, and I'm going to be talking about a saint from the North American continent, and she's a very beautiful witness, a very holy person, and there's nothing exceptional about her life. There was no axes, there was no murders, no martyrdoms, nothing like that. She was just a very prayerful soul. So stay with me here on Archangel Radio. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And thank you for joining me this morning. I hope you enjoyed praying with us in this last half hour. Thanks again to Jenny. And thanks to Mike and Reed for all they do, putting through calls, making sure the texts come through, etc. It's good stuff. It's a team effort here at Archangel, as it should be. We're all in this together. You know, St. Thomas More, whose statue is right here beside me in this house, St. Thomas More had the wonderful quote that we don't go to heaven on our own. No, we go together with other people. We go together with the assembled people of God. You can go to hell on your own, and you can go to hell very quickly on your own. And some people do, unfortunately. But for the rest of us, we are striving to get to heaven, and we do it together. And that's why it's important to come together to pray. As our Lord said, where two or three people are gathered in my name. We're two or three. So listen, there's me and there's a prayer warrior. That's two, I think. So we just need one other, and we're three. We got Reed and Mike. Four. Come on. You want us to pray for you, right? So that happens every day, 9 a.m. Central Time, and you are invited. Now, before we do story time, I'm dying to know what a young millennial like Mr. Reed thinks of UFOs. Reed, what do you make of it all?
It was definitely very interesting, Kevin. On one hand, or like you were talking about the very analytical approach that Mr. Murphy takes with everything, you know, none of the fantastic things, only looking at historical evidence, things like that. And it's a bit of a conspiratorial mindset, but on one hand, you can definitely see how much information has disappeared over the last, three quarters of a century. And look at that as something which is along the lines of, what are they hiding? Like, what is, if there must be something to it if they're hiding something. But
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, the incidents which he was referring to in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 1952, I mean, they went on for weeks, you know, sort of UFOs over the Congress and the White House and all. And I don't know about you, but I've never seen a history book that has any reference to that.
No, I haven't seen any history books have any reference to that either. You generally just find that thing or that sort of thing over, just hearsay, which would be included on reading it on the internet pretty much.
Now, I know Mike's out sorting out Jenny and Diane for the recording and stuff, so I can ask this, but I'm a little bit frightened to ask Mike it. I don't know why, but I think I can ask you this question, Reed. Do you think there was any strange interference with our phone lines in the last 24 hours? I mean, was there any sort of lights over Fairhope or anything like that?
there was definitely some strange interference. I'm not sure if I would call it extraterrestrials, but... Mike's actually coming in to give his opinion right now.
Repeat what am I giving my opinion on? I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, what do you think of UFOs, Mike? What's the Romano take on that?
I think that they exist, but I'm not too terribly. It doesn't affect my faith in Christ. It doesn't affect my everyday living. I think there's obviously enough evidence to support it, but again, I'm kind of whatever. Okay, they exist, fine. Christ is still my redeemer, my rock, my
totally.
Salvation,
totally.
And
if you had a tune, you could sing that, Mike. do you know what I was thinking? Why don't we get in somebody, a proponent of UFOs and lights in the sky, and that woman who was complaining about light pollution, and put them together?
Yeah, we could. Maybe that's the reason why we've been having these issues with our on-air playout server. Why some spots have, before yesterday, while we were having so many technical issues with that, I kind of wonder sometimes.
Well,
but
I
chalk that up though, Kevin. I mean, I really chalk that up. I've been in Catholic radio, and I told Reed this. I've been in Catholic radio for almost 17 years now. Yeah, and I've demonic influences are real. Demonic
totally.
Spirits are real, just like angels are real,
totally.
And I do believe they don't like us. They don't like the work here. They despise rather the work that we're doing, the work that I'm doing, and they do get in my skin. I just have to have to let it go, and I place the burden on myself a lot, and I carry that huge burden like it's. I'm really hard on myself, and I think that Satan knows that, and and I think that's why he tries to mess with me when it comes to that kind of stuff. I've gone to confession. I still go to confession to this very day over just the frustrations, the anger that I have to vent.
I'm going to stop you there because this isn't a confessional.
I don't want you to go on.
Confessional there, just in case. You're supposed to do that in the confessional.
I know. I feel like I could talk to you forever.
No, in all seriousness, I totally agree with you, and I could give chapter and verse of various incidents, mysterious incidents. I'm not going to name the station or whatever. I was due to appear 2 weeks on the trot on a national radio station to talk about, I forget, something, Our Lady or something like that.
Sure, yeah.
And on both occasions, on one occasion, something mysterious happened and they couldn't call me. Landline, mobile, nothing. Nothing worked. Now, I was sitting here waiting for the call. It was all set up. Nothing happened. And I contacted the senior producer. He said, "We've got no idea what happened." Another time I was due to go on and their whole system stopped working literally minutes before I came on. Now, you might say, well, maybe it was you, Kevin, and we've had the same problem in Archangel. But listen, I'm with you. I think that if the devil hates what we're doing, then you expect a bit of this. I remember there was a secular radio show in this country where the man didn't believe in anything, but he used to have guests on who would talk about Fatima. And he said it on air one night. He said, every time we take this subject on, something goes wrong. The fax doesn't work. The phones don't work. Da, 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 da. And I thought, there you go. There you go. And that's from the voice of somebody who doesn't even believe in anything. So you're absolutely right. So listen, is Wayne still in the building or is he gone now? Because he was great fun. I don't know if you caught Wayne. We managed to get our technical engineer on air by accident or by default.
I saw some, you know, I saw somebody when I went to, you know,
yeah, he was good fun,
street.
Wayne. He said he wanted to work for NASA, which is good. So we must refer him to when the NASA guy came on. He'd probably love that episode.
Well, I mean, you know, good. Listen, the phone, I don't know if anybody, I don't think anybody, did anybody call up during the Divine Mercy Chapel?
No, we had a text.
I did test the phones, you know, after, you know, during, or right before, rather, I should say, and they seem to be working. So I guess the AT&T guy did his job.
So what you're saying is essentially, Mike, the phones are working, the texts are working, it's you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Listen, let's go story time. Get those trumpets and drums ready. Let's go story time.
Yes, let's do. And you know, there was one other thing I was gonna say to our listeners because it's really easy. Don't let the devil wants to get to you. The devil wants you to quit. He wants to make you quit, and if you quit, he wins. So don't quit. Don't give up. Keep fighting the good fight. And now, story time.
With that in mind.
Yes, welcome back to the Turley Frequency here, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And this portion of the show is story time. That's right. It is what it says on the tin. We tell stories. We take time out and we tell stories. Why? Well, it's just something different, right? We've prayed together. We've had interviews. We've had phone calls. We've had various bits and bobs along the way. We even had explosions at the start of the show. It's all good fun. We're trying to give you the whole theater of the mind experience here on Archangel Radio. We like to think we do Catholic radio differently, and we definitely are different, that's for sure. In good ways, bad ways, we don't care. We're offering it to the Lord. This is our holy sacrifice to the Lord, our professional work that we're offering up for you, my dear listener, for you. Yes. That's why we're here, to help you get to heaven. And in so doing, to help ourselves get to heaven as well. That's what it's all about. So listen, I want to talk to you about somebody who's definitely in heaven because she's a canonized saint, and that is Saint Kateri Tikathwatha. I'm probably murdering that second name, so I'm just going to call her Saint Kateri. It's a beautiful name. I'm sure she was a beautiful woman. Now, St. Kateri died when she was just 24 years old, so she was the same age or thereabouts as poor old Reed. And she died in 1680, so a very, very long time ago. And Kateri was a member of the Mohawk tribe of Indians. The Mohawks were a tribe of Indians in the northeast part of what is today the United States and Canada, essentially. Their traditional homelands were in that part of what is today U.S.-Canada border. Now, she never married, and most of her life she was disfigured by illness. Yeah, I'll tell you more about that in a second. She wrote nothing of any note, left nothing that we can read, and throughout much of her life she suffered misunderstandings. Yet her passing from this world, as had much of her daily life, warranted absolutely no attention from anybody outside her immediate circle. She was, to the world, really of no significance. 24-year-old woman who lived a life which to the world's eyes, was of no achievement. Yet today, she is a canonized saint. In fact, when Pope Benedict XVI canonized her in 2012, she joined Juan Diego and the Rose of Lima as saints of the indigenous peoples of the Americas. Now, the sanctity of those first two are a little bit easier to understand, at least in a superficial sense. And let me explain what I mean by that. You see, Saint Juan Diego, Saint Juan Diego, saw the wondrous apparition at Guadalupe. That wonderful story which we've talked about of Our Lady appearing at Guadalupe, well, it was to Juan Diego. So his sanctity, in some ways, is not unexpected, right? St. Rose of Lima, which many people know across the world, and they know her as a Dominican. She was a Third Order Dominican. So in some ways, she attached herself to a religious order, and she was very much of that ilk. So again, her sanctity or her being raised to the altars of the church is not that unexpected, okay? Sometimes you do get very holy religious, very holy priests, very holy lay people. So these are not unexpected. But this is the interesting thing about Kateri. Her path was much more hidden. Her path was the path of the mystic. It was a journey that was taking place as much inside her heart as physically around her. Now, interestingly, her story of faith begins 2 decades before her birth. Now, she was born in a place called Ozer Ninon, which today is in upstate New York. We were talking earlier with Jenny about her friend Diane going up to Buffalo, upstate New York. So maybe we can ask St. Kateri to keep an eye on Diane and Amy, her sister, when she gets up there. So it was in this village in upstate, today is upstate New York, that Kateri was born and where she grew up. And in that village, 3 French Jesuits, René Goupil, Isaac Jouquet, and Jean de Lalande, were martyred by the Mohawk in 1640. All 3 martyrs were canonized in 1930s. Now, as a result of the martyrdom of these French Jesuits, the French colonial forces later destroyed the village. And in 1667, a peace treaty was forced upon the Mohawks. The French and the Mohawks were always at each other's throats. And this treaty demanded that the tribe be tolerant of any evangelization by future Jesuit missionaries. Now, I don't know about you, when I came across this, I was rather struck at how times have changed. This was at a time when the French and the British, to some extent, saw their colonial enterprise as much as a way of evangelizing people who up until then did not know the gospel. So it's interesting that this political stroke military treaty that was being signed between the Mohawk and the French, one of the key stipulations, was that the Mohawks would allow the French missionaries to engage in their missionary activity amongst the Mohawk people. And it was this which allowed the little child Kateri to be instructed in the faith by Jesuits. And I'll come to how that came about in a moment, but isn't it interesting that the martyrdom of those 3 French missionary priests in the 1640s, that somehow that had a significance in the life of Kateri, even though it happened decades before she was born. Because as we know, and it's often said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. And the blood of those 3 French martyrs on the soil of North America could only but bear fruit, right? 3 saints had given their lives for Christ in a very small settlement. And it was in that settlement where a future saint, Kateri, began her life barely a decade later. Now, what also was unusual was that the missionary activities of those earlier French men had meant that Kateri, even though she was born into the Mohawk tribe, was born to a Christian mother. her mother was called Kehenta. Now, she was from a, she wasn't a Mohawk, she was from another tribe, the Algonquin tribe. But Kehenta had been baptized a Catholic and educated by French missionaries in what was known as Trois-Rivières, which was east of Montreal. Now, as happened in those days, there was wars between the tribes, and Catherine's mother was captured by Mohawk warriors and taken to the town of Ossernanan, where she was assimilated into the Mohawk world, and eventually this lady married the Mohawk chief, Kenarakwa. And it was their child, the daughter, who was given the name of Kateri Tikawetha by the Mohawk tribe. Kateri would also have a little brother who was born a few years later. So that's how she came into the world. So it was a rather unusual way that she entered into the world of the Mohawks. She was a member of the tribe, a daughter of a tribal chief, but her mother was very much a Christian, very much a Catholic. Now, do you remember I said to you at the start of this that Kateri's life was disfigured by illness? And that came about because between 1661 and 1663, when Kateri was around 4 years old, the Mohawks suffered a smallpox epidemic. Now, this epidemic was to mark Kateri's life in more ways than one. For a start, both her parents and her brother were killed by the smallpox. So little Kateri was left an orphan, but she was also left pockmarked. As you know, smallpox can leave quite severe scarring on people's faces, and that was the case with Kateri. But it also impaired her vision. After that, she had difficulty with her vision, being able to see things, and especially in the bright light. The glare of the sun hurt her eyes very much, so she was forced often to spend a lot of time indoors, inside, in the darkness. So we have a four-year-old child who is now an orphan, has lost all her family, is disfigured by smallpox and has difficulty seeing. Thankfully, the child was adopted by her paternal aunt and uncle. Now, this couple were not Christians, and they were childless, so they were rather glad maybe to have little Kateri come into their home. And very quickly they saw that she was a very good child, and she was a virtuous little child. But they didn't quite understand her, and this is one of the common motifs, if you like, that runs through the life of Kateri. Wherever she went, she wasn't quite understood. Now, I don't know about you, but we live in an age where a lot of people feel that they are not understood. Maybe we all do at some point in our lives. Sometimes, even when you're surrounded by people, be it family or friends, sometimes it can be still alienating in a way that you don't feel part of it all. Maybe it's just one of those things of life. Maybe it's one of those marks that we live in a fallen world, and that we're really, as the writer to the Hebrews says, we are strangers in a strange land, just passing through. Maybe that's the nature of who we are as Christians. We are on our way to our true home. Well, that was certainly one of the characteristics of this young woman's life. Now, by the age of 13, Kateri was expected to get married. That was the age at which young women in the Mohawk tribe would be probably in some sort of arranged marriage. They would be given a husband, and then they would start a family of their own. But what Kateri's foster parents, her uncle and aunt, recognized was that Kateri had a real sense of indifference to this. She was not interested in getting married. And as her teenage years progressed, they could sense that there was a growing alienation in young Kateri with the Mohawk world in which she lived. Now, this was exacerbated by her vision problems. Because, as you can imagine, the life of the Mohawk was lived outdoors. It was lived out hunting, and various work was outside, and the community, the tribe, met outside and lived outside, and they really only retired to the interiors to sleep or for some privacy. Well, little Kateri spent most of her time indoors and away from the rest of the tribe. So she was already becoming a slightly odd child to the eyes of the rest of the Mohawk tribe. Now, following the smallpox outbreak, in 1659, she moved with her aunt and uncle and others from the Mohawk tribe to a new village which they called Caughnawaga. And here, Kateri's life was that of an obedient, sweet-natured, and hard-working young woman. But she lacked, shall we say, some of the vanity and frivolity in conversation that was common to other teenage girls from the same tribe. They were just the average teenagers, the same as the world over ever since. They were fun and they were boisterous and they were lively and probably interested in the local Mohawk boys and all the rest of it. Whereas Kateri, they could see, was different. She was obedient, as I say, sweet-natured, hard-working, but she was more inclined to solitude. She seemed to be spending a lot of time on her own. And what we can tell is that from that sense of solitude, we get an inkling of her true calling in life. Because, as I say, her path was that of the mystic. And the one characteristic of the mystics in the church down through the centuries, regardless whether they're in convents, monasteries, or living in the world, is that gradually they want to spend less time with the world so as to be alone with the Lord. It's a very particular calling and a very mysterious calling. I know we talked last week a lot about the Carthusians. And they are, if you like, a sort of institutional variety on this. They are the people who live in community but are essentially hermits. And the church recognizes this kind of lifestyle and way of living. And this is the type of thing that the young Kateri was beginning to experience. Now, do you remember that treaty I told you about the French and the Mohawks? Well, that allowed the return of the Jesuit missionaries. They were known as black robes. And you may come across this expression if you've read anything about early evangelization in the North American continent. And these black robed Jesuit missionaries came to evangelize the Mohawks again. And this was to have a profound influence on the young Kateri. And all we know of Kateri and her life and her witness is based on the writings of three French Jesuit priests, Fathers de Lamberville, Collinec, and Chutaret. Now, these men began to finally get to know Kateri. They knew her as a confessor, and they knew her as a spiritual guide. And they observed her ways, and they listened to her, and they guided her soul. And they began to marvel at the grace, the workings of grace in one so young and so unique. And the writings of all these men are unanimous in their verdict that Kateri was a saint. Now, I think we're probably going to have to pause our story there for today. We will continue this story tomorrow when we will find out what was it about Kateri that made her a saint and how did she witness to the world in that regard. So far we've got a rather sad tale of a child marked by suffering in many, many ways and not really understood, but staying very close to our Lord. And now she's got the help of three holy priests who are there to bring her to an even greater level of sanctity and knowledge of the Lord. So we will continue this story tomorrow, the story of St. Kateri, the Lily of the Mohawks. So that's it today here on the Turley Frequencies. Thank you so much for joining me for these last 2 hours. Let's do it all again. Same time, same place, same frequency, same Turley. So until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. That's Archangel Radio, 1410 AM, 94.5 FM, and around the world on the internet. Until we meet again tomorrow, may God bless you and keep you.